We're back here on the game. John Tyler, Mitch, Danny Duffy, Tiger Woods. Two things we're talking a lot about today. We'll get to why Tyler in particular thinks this Danny Duffy blow is much different than anything else bad that's happened to the Royals so far this year. You can tweet us at the game KMAN as you have questions or comments, or send them to myself, JL Kurtz, if you got them. I know I like to have fun here. This is a little more serious angle on Tiger Woods for just one moment. We flirted with going into this last segment, but I wanted to space this out here. But the other thing that I find, at least I have a different take on than seemingly most people about Tiger Woods and what happened with his DUI, is that now that it has been confirmed, it really was not alcohol. It was just opiates and painkillers. When this story first came out, everybody thinks, okay, it's a DUI, and he comes out and says, no, trust me, it was just pain medication. We're all led to think then likely opiates. And that was the PR move, which, by the way, probably the right thing to do PR-wise at that point in time, because for some weird reason, we as a society here in America have much less of a problem with opiates than somebody drinking or somebody smoking weed. The opiate part is the part that's just like, okay. I mean, you needed a prescription to get it. I mean, the way that tears apart lives, certainly the other two can to an extent, especially booze. That definitely can too, don't get me wrong. But they should at least be on like an even playing field there. But it was the easy move to be like, well, no, and it was true. But I'm on pain pills here. It's okay, people. It's not booze.
Right.
I'm just taking a bunch of Vicodin, getting loaded on Vicodin and going out and driving. And we seem to think that that is more okay. When I found out that there was not any alcohol in his system and he wasn't lying about that, and that's what this actually is, looking at his eyes, knowing that it was Vicodin that's the issue here, knowing that he has had four major back surgeries since 2014 and just last week wrote a blog about how he literally couldn't lay down without being in pain recently, I became more concerned. If you're talking about the well-being of Tiger Woods, I am more concerned that it is Vicodin and pain pills as opposed to it being booze for him out there with the DUI.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that, because you can you can be removed from alcohol within, you know, 12 hours or something. You might have a hangover the next day, but you'll be good. It's not the same with opiates. If you're addicted to opiates or you have some serious mental condition, as Tiger does, that you have to take them on a daily basis, there's no escaping that. And so it's a totally different thing, and it scares people less. It should probably scare people more.
Yeah, no, you're right. It scares people less. It just has less of a stigma is really the better way to put it, and just encompass everything in the umbrella. I do this a lot, but I always go to the NFL example. I hate the fact that these guys become vilified if they fail a drug test for marijuana. You're Josh Gordon. You're kicked out of the NFL for positive marijuana tests. These guys are in a bunch of pain if they want to use that instead of the opiates, which will, I mean, it's just inarguable. They will tear up your life way more. But that's okay. You're being a tough guy. You're taking something that the doc gives you. It's okay. You know, you smoke weed and go get pulled over and ask where Sonic's at, like Dwayne Bowe, and everybody's like, you're an idiot. I hate it. And there are pretty clear examples in the sports world of that. And this is not one. This is not the place I would have thought it would come up like this with Tiger Woods to make another point about that, but I think it fits.
Well, and I know that there are definitely some people out there listening that are going with the hashtag stick to sports thing and thinking that we're maybe getting a little bit too political about this, but it is completely relevant in sports. It's just that no one likes to talk about it because they're worried that it's going to, you know, change the status quo for how everybody thinks about this stuff. But it is relevant, and it's not a matter of if, but when we have, let's say, a Chiefs player or a Royals player that's dealing with maybe the exact same thing,
well,
and we have to talk about it in that context.
I would say there are those situations. We just do not know about all of them.
Right.
This is one that has now come to light. I am taking a leap there in assuming, and I'm basically bringing up the possibility that Tiger Woods has a problem there. I am taking a leap in saying that there's a good chance, I think, that he would have a real issue. And it's not just, hey, he just had the surgery. He really didn't know what these were going to do. I'm taking a leap and making assumptions there about Tiger Woods. So maybe I'm guilty in a way of what I'm accusing everybody else of doing, of just wanting to get in on the Tiger Woods action too much. But I don't think it's too much of a stretch to imagine there's a good chance he has a problem. And whether he does or not, it doesn't change the fact that PR-wise, it was better for him to come out and try and skew it towards opiates as opposed to booze. So I think that all winds up working out as a good way to make this point here, and you can do it through sports. All right, Danny Duffy is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks for the Royals. He has a grade one oblique strain, so the Royals' most talented starting pitcher is now going to be on the shelf until it could be August. As crazy as that is to hear, I heard someone say that, and I was like, that's not right. And then I went through, I was like, 8 weeks, carry the two. Yeah, okay, it could be August. Time Danny Duffy is back, and that's bad news for a team that's already 6.5 games back and in last place. I would argue that the Royals' playoff chances were probably already done. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you know that's how I've felt for weeks now about this team. But this does appear like it's going to hasten the demise of the Royals this year and get them out of the race quicker. And that obviously could have a slew of effects with how the rest of this season is going to go and the long-term future of the franchise. But your biggest reason for thinking that this is so much different than everything else that's happened to the Royals is just merely because it's an injury? Am I phrasing that?
It's taking a player out of the lineup versus what has been plaguing the Royals up to this point, which is clearly players underperforming like Alex Gordon and Alcides Escobar and how Jorge Soler has done so far, how Brandon Moss has done so far, although he's come around a little bit. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility to say those guys are going to get hot and Alex Gordon is going to bat 300 the rest of the year. Alcides Escobar is going to start getting on base a lot more in the leadoff spot. Brandon Moss is going to start hitting more homers. Jorge Soler is going to bring his average up. Those things, whether or not you would bet on them to happen, and for the record, not, there is that tangible chance that something like that would occur. With Danny Duffy, that doesn't exist because it's an injury. So you got 6 to 8 weeks where your best pitcher is going to be out. It takes a rotation that I would say is average to slightly above average right now and drops it to below average. And it's just a different blow than what we've seen the Royals deal with so far this year. And the only silver lining to it that I can really think of is, well, maybe it makes it easier to make that decision when the time comes around. If you're 20 games out of it versus like 8 games out, it's a lot easier to say, okay, we need to sell versus stand pat and really go for it. That might be the only positive. But I think that this was it for the Royals as we know them, and it's just the clock's ticking now.
Well, first things first, you may be being fairly generous in saying that the rotation is merely – below average, because I mean, no offense here, but here's some of the names that we're talking about replacing Danny Duffy: Nathan Carnes, Eric Skoglin. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Jake Junis. I know Skoglin's a high prospect in the organization, and I'm somewhat being facetious there and playing off my Albuquerque take from a couple days ago. But they're in major trouble. Just having Danny Duffy, I don't think took them out of major trouble. They were in major trouble either way. And a lot of people seem to want to rush to be like, okay, well, now Dayton Moore's phone is going to be blowing up. They might as well just trade off everybody right now. I really don't think from Dayton Moore's standpoint, an organizational standpoint, this injury changes what they're doing on a day-to-day basis very much. There's still 62 days until the trade deadline. Trades typically don't happen until mid to late June at the earliest with all this stuff. I mean, July is when you'll see a lot of action there. I think they're still going to be in wait-and-see mode. They are still just 6.5 games out for as poor as things have gone this year. Well, based on the talent they have, it seems highly unlikely they get back into it. I mean, Dayton Moore is still going to give them that chance. Well, I think operating the same way he would day-to-day, it may just cause them to lose more games, which a month down the line would make it easier for the trades to happen. That's the distinction that I would make in what goes on now with Duffy being hurt.
Rustin Dodd from the Kansas City Star just literally tweeted out that it's Eric Skoglund. Eric Skoglund. Oh, and by the way, it's not Bonifacio, it's Bonifacio. Bonifacio.
Okay. Bonifacio?
According to Jorge himself.
He's been one of the very few bright spots on this team. It actually has been fun to watch him finish seconds in the AL Rookie of the Year voting behind Aaron Judge, but oh well.
That's a good drop-in. Dynamite drop-in, Mitch.
I forgot that Mitch was here today.
I already forgot. Skoglund? Say Skoglund?
Skoglund.
Skoglund.
Skoglund. Sko. I'm going to need – I need a mnemonic device really quick or I'm going to forget that. Skog. How do I remember Skog?
I don't know.
Go? Like go? I just remember go.
That you are trying to lure me into a dad joke and I'm not going to fall for it.
Well, we know it's coming at some point, so you might as well just get it off your chest here at the second segment of the show. Good show going on today. We will talk more Tiger Woods and more Kansas City Royals. I do think the Danny Duffy injury and what's happened with the Royals is why you really should have savored 2014 and 2015. I'll expand on that in the second hour of the show. But when we come back, I actually, with the myriad of piping hot takes that I have, got caught in a pickle. I'll explain that here on The Game.